from KSRO, KSRO.com, and the KSRO app, available for download at the App Store and Google Play. This is continuing coverage of the coronavirus emergency.
Good afternoon and welcome to our continuing coverage of the coronavirus emergency and other issues that are impacting Sonoma County. My name is Michelle Marquis, and on the line with me now is our 5th District Supervisor, Linda Hopkins. Thank you so much for joining us today, Supervisor.
Thanks for having me, Michelle. I appreciate it.
Let's start the conversation today about antibody testing. That is now new and something available here in Sonoma County. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so this is really exciting, and it's literally starting today. Saturday, this is the first day that we're going to be running these tests, and we're initially planning to perform about 110 of these tests per day, and our goal is actually testing about 3,500 people within the next month as different testing sites become online and operational. So starting at 110 and growing that over the course of the next few weeks. I will say that this unfortunately is not available for just general members of the public yet. We are starting with higher risk groups. So that includes first responders, paramedics, EMTs, firefighters, law enforcement, and then also some of the folks who previously tested positive for COVID and have since recovered, along with their, family members and other close contacts, that have maybe wondering, did they have the virus or didn't they, if they hadn't gotten tested before.
What was the delay in getting antibody tests?
This was a case where we put in our order, I feel like it was months ago, requesting these test kits so that we would have this capacity locally. But unfortunately, the moment that it was out in the press that these kits would become available for government, everybody signed up. And so it just took us, a number of months in order to actually get the test because there was such an overwhelming demand across the country that the manufacturers and the producers were having a hard time meeting that demand. But I'm hoping that, this is a good sign, though, that we've got the antibody test now and that we'll be able to expand our capacity in partnership with our clinics and our hospitals to really start to test broader groups of folks in the weeks to come.
Now, for now, it is that high-risk group and those sort of first responder people that are able to get these antibody tests. Are there any other groups, any maybe blood banks or any independent companies that are doing antibody tests here in Sonoma County?
I am not aware of any at present, although I have heard some folks who were able to get antibody tests through Quest, through their healthcare providers. But
okay.
On the public side for sort of the free testing, regardless of who is your, healthcare provider, or your insurance provider, I think that we are the only ones currently in Sonoma County.
And what will we be doing with these test results? How much data do we need to have it inform any decisions that we continue to make?
We really are just trying to get a sampling of how many folks might have had this disease and recovered, especially since our testing efforts lagged in the very beginning. I remember back in the day when we were all, trying to find enough swabs, trying to find enough test kits just to turn out, whether people were actually positive for the virus in that moment. We're trying to see were there folks who had the virus before we had the expanded testing capacity to tell whether or not they had it. So that's why, starting with those high-risk groups, that, they might have had some COVID go through before we had the testing capacity. That's our question, right? We don't know yet. We don't have a hypothesis one way or another, but we do want to gather that data to find out the potential extent of the spread of the virus. And we figured we'd start with those high-risk populations because we know that those are the folks who, if the virus was spreading before we had the testing capacity, might have been exposed more frequently than other populations.
And will these tests then help us make these kinds of decisions? Do we have to have, say, 3,000 tests completed before this is going to impact any decisions made?
Yeah, I think that the goal is to sort of get a tranche of data, which would be that kind of goal of having at least 3,500 folks tested over the next month before we can draw any conclusions. I will say, though, that most of our decisions right now as it pertains to reopening are the ones that you can see right now on the Roadmap to Recovery dashboard on socoemergency.org. So we do have the criteria, and what we're focusing on most closely is, number of hospitalized cases, what is our local healthcare system capacity, what is that case rate per 10,000 of, current positive COVID-19 cases, and then also where is it coming from? So is it coming from our contact tracing efforts, or getting folks very quickly to be, you know, isolating at home so they're not out in the community infecting others? Or is it starting to come in through community spread where we don't actually have an identified source of the infection? So I think that right now, you know, this is the antibody testing is the nice to have data. And so we are working on gathering that data. But the need to have data is, you know, what is the real time mm-hmm. caseload that we have of current positives in the community?
Now, you mentioned the dashboard. Has this been updated and changed in any way at socoemergency.org?
Yeah, and I am really excited to try to get the word out to the community about this. This is something that we've been working on for weeks. And, you know, I have been consistently saying we need to make sure that we're transparent about our decision-making processes. We can't just tell people, you know, we're not reopening any more businesses because I say so, right? We have to have those very clear data-driven metrics and make sure that the community has an opportunity to see those in real time, day-to-day, how we're matching up against those metrics. So now if you go to socoemergency.org and you click on the dashboard link, there will now actually be a few different tabs that pop up, and you can actually look at what are those criteria for reopening, and are we meeting them or are we failing, right, to meet those? And then you can also now look at vocational information. So if you're curious, you know, these people who are testing positive, what's their work? What's their job? You can actually go and see it broken out by, you know, manufacturing, agriculture, you know, service industries and various other levels of information that we did not have before last week. So if you're a data nerd like I am, I would definitely encourage you to head over to socoemergency.org and pour through some of that new information. And it also, which I find very interesting, is, you know, it tracks in real time, what are the number of hospital beds that we have available? What are the number of ICU beds that we have available? What are the number of ventilators that we have available? So that folks know, you know, how are we matching up with respect to the capacity of our healthcare system?
Now, this expansion of information on the dashboard, is this something that had been planned to be released, or is it something that was influenced by our situation that we had with Sheriff Mark Essick and asking for more transparency?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is actually something that has been in the works for about a month and a half. And unfortunately, the state actually kept changing their metrics. So we would literally have the website almost ready to go live based on a certain set of metrics that we thought is what the state was going to use, and then the state would change, and then we had to actually redo the website at least three times based on changing criteria. Mm. And then, of course, our epidemiologists have been very busy, and so it's actually the epidemiologists who are calling this data in real time and then getting it over to our GIS team to upload that information. And so, you know, I kept asking Dr. Mace, when is the dashboard going to be ready? And she's like, well, we just had another workplace cluster, and our epidemiologists were up until 10 at night, you know, trying to trace that and figure out what was going on. So this has been in the works for about 6 weeks, I would say.
Okay, good to know. We have seen some new openings just announced yesterday by Dr. Mace. We know that hair salons are open. People can now dine inside as long as that 6 feet is maintained and other, of course, safety procedures. What, though, is still closed?
That is a great question. So, you know, we're really excited about the barbershops, the hair salons, indoor dining, indoor retail, swimming pools, dog parks, outdoor recreation businesses, outdoor rental businesses, charter boats. All of those are now allowed to operate starting today, as well as supporting our faith-based worship services. So folks, you know, can get back to church in person, which is really meaningful to a lot of folks in our community who have just missed that opportunity to worship together. But not yet. We are not yet allowed to move forward with personal services like massage, tattoos, facials. So even if your hair salon normally offers those kinds of services, they are not allowed to offer those kinds of services right now because they are still prohibited by the state. And one of the reasons for that is that, you know, it's really challenging to actually wear that facial covering while you're getting a facial. You can't really do that. And
right.
So, you know, it's just a little bit of a higher risk activity than having your hair done and being able to wear those facial coverings. Some other things that are not yet allowed, schools, gyms, hospitality, and non-essential travel. But we have gotten word from the state of California that they are planning on allowing a new tranche of openings starting next Friday. So we'll be having conversations with Dr. Mace about when Sonoma County would go about implementing those new possibilities through the state. And my understanding is that that actually includes hospitality, which is a huge deal in Sonoma County. So hotels, Airbnbs, VRBOs, all of those kinds of things, as well as leisure travel, right? So allowing folks to actually go and visit those establishments. My understanding is that gyms are also a part of that, and I know a lot of folks have been itching to get back to their gyms. And so while while pools, anyone who's a swimmer, I'm sure, is very excited right now to be able to utilize swimming pools. Folks who want to just go lift weights or, you know, do their aerobic activity are not currently allowed to do that. But starting Friday, the state seems like they're giving the green light for that activity.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And then finally, before I let you go, you did host a sort of video live about parenting during COVID-19 and co-hosted that with Supervisor James Gore. Tell us about that.
You know, it was a really neat project that James and I hosted a few weeks ago. We did a live Zoom meeting, and for, gosh, it was an hour and a half. We just talked with various parents from all around the county, some of them single moms, you know, some of them, you know, couples, some of them having lost their, you know, jobs as a result of COVID-19, some of them trying to, you know, balance that distance learning and, at, you know, homeschooling with their workplace, you know, while working from home. And it was just a really neat opportunity to hear this common experience that's being shared by parents all around the county. This, what is parenting in place? What does it mean to be your 24/7 teacher, you know, caregiver, parent, and, you know, still trying to provide for your children in the midst of this pandemic? And the goal is really to just lift up parents' voices, to talk about the challenges, and to remind them that there is help available. You know, you guys have been great about promoting the Sonoma County Warm Line as a resource if anyone needs therapy or counseling or just someone to talk to. But it is a challenging time for a lot of parents. And, you know, we're anxious. We see that anxiety manifesting in our children. And how can we all sort of work together? We had Angie Dillonshore as our expert from First Five. She's the executive director of the First Five Commission. And one of the things that we centered around at the end was, you know, you're enough. You're not going to be perfect in this time. And the most important thing to do is to just, you know, be authentic with your children. Try to spend a little bit of undistracted time with them every day. It's not always necessarily the quantity of time. It's the quality. So put down that phone, you know, hug your kids and let them know that even if you, you know, got really frustrated and you yelled at them and then you felt guilty, you know, just have that conversation with them and work through it as a family.
Yeah, super challenging, I'm sure. I'm so lucky that my kid is not in the house anymore with all of this. But yeah, it has been very difficult for parents to deal with all of the issues that that we're confronting during COVID-19 and parenting. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Saturday, and have a great weekend.
Thank you so much for your wonderful coverage through the COVID-19 pandemic. You guys are a lifeline for our entire community, and I really appreciate your commitment to getting the word out. So thank you, and have a wonderful afternoon.
All right. We'll talk with you again soon. Thank you so much.
Take care.
That is 5th District Supervisor Linda Hopkins. We will take a quick break and be right back with continuing coverage here on KSRO.